Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here as we kick off Tesla Earnings Week with a very exciting start to the week for Tesla stock. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we've also got some more updates on Volkswagen and conversations that they have had with Elon Musk. Big news on the refreshed Model X, some news on Tesla Energy, and a couple other stories as well. All right, so after Tesla stock last week saw five green days in a row, culminating in a 7% increase for the stock last week, the strength continued today. Tesla finishing up 3.2% to $870.11 on the day, extending that streak to six green days in a row as we approach earnings. And with that close above $870 per share, that is a top five close for Tesla all time. With this run, Tesla has now conclusively passed the NASDAQ for year-to-date performance. If you look at Google, they're showing Tesla up 19.2% versus the NASDAQ 18.3% on the year. Turns out they don't actually calculate that how I would, which would be based on the closing prices from last year. Using those prices, the NASDAQ drops to 16.5% year-to-date versus Tesla up 23%. So obviously quite a bit of excitement heading into earnings after market close on Wednesday. Some analysts have come out with notes over the last few days. Dan Ives today talking about how he expects an earnings beat across the board on the Q3 report. So I think analyst estimates are increasing, but even more than that, I think probably the quote-unquote whisper number or actual expectations are probably increasing even a little bit more. So like I said, when we do get those consensus numbers, I will compare those to my forecasts, but I think true expectations are going to be higher than that consensus. All right, first up today, I want to continue kind of the conversation that we've been having unintentionally over the last few weeks regarding Volkswagen. Of course, we've talked about how Herbert Diess and brand CEO Rolf Brandstätter reportedly had a meeting talking about how threatening Tesla was to their main plant there in Wolfsburg. Then we had the Handelsblatt report talking about how Diess was kind of sounding the alarm to the supervisory board. And now over the weekend, we have kind of the most direct reporting on this coming from Diess himself, both on Twitter and LinkedIn. Diess sharing an update about a, you guessed it, management meeting with about 200 top managers from Volkswagen, but this time including a special guest, Elon Musk. Diess shared details about the meeting in a LinkedIn post over the weekend, saying, quote, "We need a new mindset at Volkswagen to take on the new competition. After 3 days with 200 top managers from around the world, I am confident. We have everything we need to tackle the challenges. Right strategy, right competencies, right management team. We can do it, but we have to deliver now. It was great to meet the colleagues in person and to discuss how we transform the group as fast as possible. One big topic, our headquarter in Wolfsburg, our biggest and most traditional site. With Trinity, we will revolutionize it to compete with Tesla in Grünheide, where they will build cars with an impressive speed and productivity. Rolf Brandstätter has already many ideas how to build a new factory within the old one." End quote. So the Trinity project, we've talked about that before. That's Volkswagen's really next generation electric vehicle plan, and that is for 2026. And I think it's interesting and probably the wrong choice here that they talk about building a new factory within the old one to be able to compete with what Tesla is building in a brand new factory that's going to be really built from the ground up, allowing for more optimal choices just naturally. Alongside that thought is something that we've talked about before, but maybe haven't spent enough time on. For these legacy automakers that are trying to convert over factories, not only do you have the expense of the new factory, the new equipment, all that, it also leads to downtime in those factories, reduced production rates, which maybe that's fine as they're getting disrupted, might happen anyway, but if not, that's also lost cash flow from the down production time. Anyway, Diess continues on to say, quote, "We did many things right in the past. In the old world, Volkswagen is strong, but there is no guarantee for the new world. It's a crucial moment for our company. Aaron Meyer told us about the impressive and fascinating transformation Netflix went through. Inspirational. We are far away from that today, but we need to get there. Faster decisions, less bureaucracy, more responsibility. As a surprise guest, Elon Musk joined us for a video talk in the evening. Happy to hear that even our strongest competitor thinks that we will succeed the transition if we drive the transformation with full power. One example for the speed of Tesla, they handle the chip shortage very well. The reason? They are developing their own software. Within just 2 to 3 weeks, they had a new software which allows to use different chips. Impressive. Good 3 days in Altbach. Great program. Thanks for organizing Alexander Hiller and team. Now we have to move on. Let's revolutionize Wolfsburg, Volkswagen, and make the biggest transformation in history of our group reality." End quote. So first off, obviously credit to Diess for both recognizing and acknowledging the transformation that's happening right now and Volkswagen's relative position to Tesla, which takes a lot of humility to publicly acknowledge, and Diess obviously feels like that is necessary to help push with force Volkswagen in the right direction, and I think that probably is the case. That being said, though, how many times are we going to have the same podcast episode where we're talking about Volkswagen management meetings and them recognizing that Tesla is ahead and talking about what to do? I mean, last year in November, so almost a year ago, Diess had another LinkedIn post talking about how Volkswagen needed to catch up with Tesla. One of the headers from that post was Mission T, to catch up with Tesla. It talked about how there's new competitors with IT-like business capabilities, with Deese writing, "To this end, we organized a second workshop with Professor Malik in April 2020. 31 senior executives from Volkswagen, Audi, and Porsche were involved in Mission T, as it was dubbed. The event revolved around how we can catch up with Tesla, a company focused exclusively on the future without a traditional car business. Its Silicon Valley-style ecosystem is influenced by software capabilities, focus on technology, and risk culture. The workshop was held over 3 days under special constraints with masks and social distancing due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The opening question was, what do we have to achieve in the next 6 months to catch up with Tesla in terms of technology by 2024? End quote. So that meeting was in April 2020, a year and a half ago, Deese posting this update last November. Now we've got this new management meeting again, another 3 day meeting where Volkswagen's talking about, hey, how can we catch up with Tesla? And it seems that the only thing that's really changed is that instead of 31 managers, now there's 200. And instead of trying to catch up with Tesla by 2024, now they're trying to catch up by 2026. It's pretty simple, Volkswagen. Back in April 2020, when you originally had this meeting, you should have looked at Giga Shanghai and done exactly everything that Tesla was doing as best you could. Just copy it directly and start on the project immediately. Now you've sat around for a year and a half and done what? Just continued to acknowledge that Tesla's ahead and watch them build a factory right in your backyard? If they had taken action swiftly, they could be themselves looking at opening up a factory right now with some of these improvements that Tesla is making. Instead, it seems like they've just really gone back to the drawing board. I mean, that Handelsblatt report about the supervisory board meeting in September literally said, quote, "Even if there are no final decisions, there were discussions about it. Like the Wolfsburg main plant will change. We are in the phase of brainstorming set of management power of Volkswagen. We are only at the beginning," end quote. So, I mean, it's good to acknowledge what needs to change, but at a certain point, you gotta stop acknowledging and actually start changing. And obviously, Deese himself can only do so much. It doesn't all fall on him, and this task is extremely difficult, maybe to the point of being insurmountable. All right, let's move on. Next up, we've got some really exciting news here about the Model X. Finally, Tesla has started delivering the refreshed Model X after about, I don't know, 10 months now of downtime. So really exciting to see these start hitting the road, and it'll be exciting to see them start hitting the financials as well. As we had previously talked about, Tesla is starting off with deliveries of the 6-seat configuration, and from what I can tell, right now it looks like long range only. There are some rumors going around that I think originated with a Tesla sales advisor that the Plaid may be just temporarily hung up on waiting for some regulatory approvals. Sometimes things like that don't turn out to be accurate, but that's about all the information that we have right now, so we'll keep an eye out for any X Plaid deliveries as well. All right, next up, we've got some news on Tesla Energy. This is from Der Tagesspiegel per Tasmanian. They're reporting that Tesla, starting today, is introducing a nationwide electricity tariff, basically equivalent to an electricity plan, in Germany. And I believe this has been confirmed with some potential customers already starting to get quotes. So this would be Tesla in partnership with Octopus Energy, which is actually where Tesla has partnered on an electricity tariff within the UK last year. So we talked quite a bit about that at the time. I'm sure the setup in Germany is very similar, so we'll spare going through all those details, but you can check that episode out if you're curious about some of the more detailed elements. But just a little background on Octopus Energy, and I think it's kind of interesting to update since that episode. So when we talked last, Octopus Energy had more than 1.5 million customers worldwide, 2019 revenue of £450 million, and they've actually been growing incredibly quickly. So they're now up to about 3.1 million customers. That's as of this last September. And their 2020 revenue was £1.2 billion. So really fast growth here. Maybe some of that through acquisitions. I'm not entirely sure. I don't really follow the company. But it certainly looks like they are doing pretty well. And now that we're seeing this continued and expanded partnership between Octopus Energy and Tesla, maybe Tesla's found a pretty good partner here. All right, last couple of items here. First, an update on the budget reconciliation plan. So of course, that's the original $3.5 trillion plan that looks likely to be pared down at this point. That's separate, but Democrats hope to pass that in tandem with the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. That's got funding for EV chargers and buses and things like that. But the budget reconciliation is what houses the proposed changes to the EV tax credit. Anyway, we had heard previously that that was likely to be cut down, as I mentioned, to maybe around $2 trillion or so. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin out of West Virginia has been pushing to get that lowered. And on Friday, the New York Times reported that that may come at the expense of some of the new energy plans within that budget. Per Reuters here, quote, "A critical piece of U.S. President Joe Biden's climate agenda, which would replace coal and gas-fired power plants with wind, solar, and nuclear energy, will likely be dropped from the budget bill pending in Congress," the New York Times reported on Friday, end quote. So I don't know a ton about this, admittedly. It sounds like the reaction so far has been that this is more of a protectionist move for coal, which would be really disappointing from a climate perspective. That being said, I don't think this is really targeted at the EV tax credit from what I've read, but obviously either way, there is remaining uncertainty. I expect we'll continue to get quite a bit more news on just the status there over the next couple of weeks, so we will continue to monitor. Lastly then, today we got some news from Apple supplier Foxconn, which has unveiled the concepts for three electric vehicles. They've got the Model E, the Model C, and the Model T. T is a bus, with the C being an electric SUV, and the E being a luxury sedan. They unveiled these under the Foxtron brand name, which I found kind of amusing, though I don't think they intend to actually sell these themselves. This would be in partnership with other automakers. The first company they'll be working with is out of Taiwan, Yulon Motor, which will be working with Foxconn to build an electric sedan. So the bus should come next year. I believe they set a 400 kilometer range on that. I don't know on what standard. Then they say that the Model C, the electric SUV, should be available in 2023 and should have a 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds and start just below $36,000, which would be obviously a good price. I don't know if that's tied to that 0 to 60 timer, if that would be a different option. And then the Model E, they say that that would be at a later unspecified date, 0 to 60 time of 2.8 seconds and a 750 kilometer range. But again, I don't know what standard that would be on. That'd be about 465 miles. My guess there is probably an EDC test cycle, but I guess we'll see. So obviously, anytime you have Foxconn doing something, you get Apple pulled into the EV rumors again. I've shared my thoughts on that many times. I'm very doubtful. And I think specifically with Foxconn, if they were working closely with Apple to develop something, they probably wouldn't be talking about these other EVs. That's my take at least, or makes it a little bit less likely, I think. So obviously Apple could work with another company, but again, my hopes there are not high. So that is where we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, October 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.